Number 65 from July of 2009, Bad Things for Good People. My taste in cows certainly looks rather eclectic this year. I've got older cows and younger cows, big cows and small cows, multicolored cows, and even a few Texas Longhorn cows. It looks like a herd made out of spare parts. But I really don't care because I only keep them for 6 months and then start over again the next spring. If I was trying to build a herd to keep, I certainly wouldn't do it this way. But my pride was restored a little bit because amidst the good, the bad, and the ugly is one big black brute of a cow that could just be the best-looking cow I've ever owned. She came with a two-day-old poppin' good bull calf at her side as well. She's about 1,600 pounds with a top and bottom line as straight as a string, good spring of ribs and depth, and a nice square hip. She is a beautiful thing to behold, and Richie Howard can testify to that because he saw the pair soon after they arrived. But as luck and life would have it, my pride and my joy did not last very long. When that excellent calf got to be about 6 weeks old, he got sick very suddenly, and despite the efforts of friends and neighbors, he was stone cold dead by the time I got home from the hospital. I really don't know what it was, and I guess it doesn't matter because he is gone. Now that big, beautiful cow has nothing to do all summer except waste feed. There is no worse sight for a cattleman than to walk out into the pasture and see your best calf all bloated with his legs sticking up in the air and dead. It almost makes you sick. I told my dad about the death, and he said, "I wonder why it is that always your best cow or your best calf dies. You can hardly kill the scrubs, but the good ones always seem to die." That's the same question I have about people as well. Why do the good die young, as the song says? Why do bad things happen to good people, the popular book asks. Why is it that wonderful people get cancer and die, and scoundrels seem to live forever? Why do beautiful children die before their parents? Why do faithful people have the same, or maybe even more, heartaches than faithless people? How come tender women get hooked up with abusive men? Why are the golden years not a little more golden? I don't know. It is probably no coincidence that I've been reading the Old Testament lesson for this week, and that comes from the book of Job. Why did these bad things happen to me is the question Job asked God as well. His friends tell him that God must be teaching him a lesson and punishing him, that he must have done something really bad. With friends like that, Job doesn't need enemies. His wife suggests that he ought to just curse God and die and get it over with, but that's not it. The question of evil is never really answered in the scriptures. We know that Jesus said that rain falls on the righteous and on the wicked, but we are not sure why. We know that our self-will running riot is the cause of sin, disease, heartache, and death in the world, but it still does not seem to answer the question, why? Whole libraries have been written on the question of why there is evil in the world and why God doesn't stop all of it. I certainly can't answer that question of why for you, but I can answer the question of who, and maybe that's a better question. Who has promised to be with us in times of sorrow and pain? The Lord God, who watched his own son die a criminal's death so that death could ultimately be beaten. Who has a better track record than anyone else in taking those bad things and turning them around into something good eventually? The God who turned Good Friday into Easter Sunday. Who has promised to give us his strength and presence in times of trouble? The God of Moses, David, Isaiah, and the apostles. Who has prepared a place for us in heaven where there are no more tears, no more suffering, and no more death? The God of life. We will probably never know the why this side of the grave, but as long as we know the who, we will be all right.